You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, August 18th, 2025. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com with another edition of the Daily Mail Monday, where we go through various stories from the Daily Mail, a juicy selection. I've got several things we'll go through today. Of course, as always, it gets narrowed down quickly when you refuse to do anything about Meghan Markle and the royal family, or various celebrities that 99% of the time I have no idea who the hell they are. Nevertheless, we have some stories, some relevant, some just humorous and entertaining, and we're going to get into them. First off, this deal here, most of y'all have probably heard about it. Terrifying headline here. Terrifying moment. Illegal migrant takes rogue U-turn in semi-truck before crashing into minivan and killing three people. Y'all probably heard this story already with the Indian truck driver making this illegal U-turn. Very dangerous area in Florida. Let's go ahead and hit a few of the high points. Terrifying footage has emerged of the moment an illegal migrant driving a huge semi-truck caused a tragic crash which left three people dead. Harjinder Singh, who obtained a commercial driver's license in California, was charged with three counts of vehicular homicide for the horrific crash in Florida last Tuesday. Now, I'm going to stop there because they don't get into it in this article. But, so this guy came into the country, I think it was in 2018, illegally. Came across the Mexican border. So we had Indians coming across the border with Mexico. Now, it seems to me that Indians have a pretty easy time getting here. You can't just, you know, it's not like it's really tough for an Indian to get here. I suspect if this guy had to come into the country illegally as an Indian, there's even more to this story. Criminal record back in India, perhaps, or something else. Because, again, I from what I can see, and what I've been able to garner and gather is it's not as though Indians are having a really tough time getting into America, like getting visas. So the fact that this guy had to come across the border illegally, there's a red flag right away. I mean, I get it if somebody's from Zimbabwe or some shit, but India, they're getting these damn visas just basically rubber stamped. Nevertheless, this guy comes in illegally and somehow now he has a CDL. From California. Now, from what I've seen, read, and seen several things on this particular story, and supposedly, again, this isn't touched on in the article, but supposedly, it's illegal. Why they do give driver's license out to illegals in California, which make sense. Apparently, even in California, an illegal cannot get a commercial driver's license. And yet this guy had one. No one's claiming his CDL is fake. So he got one. I find it really curious. If it's against the law in California for him to have one, I really want to know, how did he get it? I mean, it's fine. Of course, the news media is always all about clickbait. And you know, this guy making the U-turn and just watching as the van crashes into his trailer and then standing there like he doesn't care. Because he doesn't. You know, that gets views, that gets clicks, that's whatever. The more interesting, or I think one of the more relevant aspects of this that really should be looked into is, how did he get a CDL? I would be willing to bet we're not going to hear. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't know this. This is pure conjecture on my part. I mean, for the sake of, you know, being open and honest here, this is just pure conjecture on my part. But if it's illegal for an if it's against the law for an illegal immigrant to get a CDL. How did this guy get one? And my conjecture would be that another Indian working at the DMV in California hooked him up. I mean, the answers usually are a lot more simple than what people want to make them. I'd be willing to bet that there was another Indian working in the government position that's hooking up his racial kinfolk. I don't know that. Could be something else. Maybe someone took a bribe. He got it. He got a CDL. No one's claiming in any report I've seen, the Florida State Patrol, Highway Patrol, nobody's claiming it was a fake CDL and he had no CDL. So he got one in California. It's against the law in California. How did he get it? Either someone took a bribe. They're just so incompetent at the DMV in California that no one noticed that this guy's illegal, which that is possible too. Or some Indian that works at the DMV hooked this guy up. One way or the other, they keep telling us all of this diversity being our strength, of course, and we're a nation of immigrants, blah, blah, blah. And just, again, based on results, it's not really working out very well, is it? Three people lost their lives as a result of his recklessness, and countless friends and family members will experience the pain of their loss forever, Dave Kerner from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles said. The actions taken by the defendant while operating a commercial tractor trailer are both shocking and criminal. Harjinder Singh is in custody on state vehicular homicide charges and immigration violations. He will no longer be able to damage and destroy the lives of Floridians and visitors. That's a quote from this Dave Kerner. You would have thought in correct writing, they would have added Dave Kerner to the end of that. They didn't, so I had to do it. It's just Daily Mail things. Well, yeah, I mean, a little late now. How many... If you're not from America, you probably don't know, but when you travel down the interstate highways, we have the interstate highway system here. It's kind of like the Autobahn in Germany, only really, really shittier. And I mean that because the roads are horribly maintained. It's sort of like if they had an Autobahn in sub-Saharan Africa or something. The roads are just trash and you have to dodge potholes and whatever. But primarily, these are traveled a lot by both vehicles and semi-trucks use them a whole lot because they are more or less in a straight line from major destination point to major destination point. And along these interstates, especially where state borders are, but at multiple places along these interstates, you will have DOT inspection stations, way stations, and places like that. How many of these did this guy go through? And nobody even bothered noticing he's not here legally. I saw one video produced by a truck driver, and he was saying, no, he answers this question. He said, no, these Indians, they just drive past the way. They don't pull in. There's a big sign, commercial trucks must exit right. He said, according to this guy, and he's a truck driver, so I'm assuming he would know, these guys just blow past them. They just don't bother pulling in. I do not have to pull in there, sir. And apparently nobody bothers them. You see, the high trust society people, they follow the rules and they pull in and get weighed and get harassed by some trooper, some DOT man. Meanwhile, the likes of Harjinder Singh, they just keep on trucking with his turban on. And then the authorities always after the fact. The authorities come out and say, this guy will never be able to hurt anybody in this country again. Does a lot of good for the people that are dead now, doesn't it? Maybe if these various levels, different departments, all of these government people, if somebody, think of the chain of failures here from starting at the border to all these various government people getting paid in California, DOT people in various states, all these government workers. And nobody caught this guy. Nobody stopped this guy. Nobody took this guy off the highway. The only reason he's off the highway today is because he killed three people. Oh, and now, though, don't worry, the government, they're there. They're keeping us all safe. Now, obviously, this case is disturbing anybody because you see it and you think, well, like, what if this guy pulled out in front of me? You know, or if it's somebody you cared about, and you know, people die. So it's a pretty serious matter. But there's other instances where all of this wonderful, all of this vibrancy is just kind of comical. And our next story, I think, kind of highlights that to a certain extent. Disturbing video shows a lawmaker stuffing ballots in swing state that Trump only won by 80,000 votes. I thought our democracy was very secure. Didn't they tell us that there was nothing insecure about just mail-in ballots? And yet, we're supposed to forget that. And at the same time, they give us a story like this. A chilling video has allegedly shown a lawmaker accompanying a friend who stuffed ballots in a swing state that Donald Trump only won by just over 80,000 votes. Abu Musa, a city council member of Hamtramck, Michigan, was in the passenger seat handing several bundles of what appear to be absentee ballots to the driver. Musa then watches the driver deposit three stacks of ballots into a drop box. Michigan State Police confirmed the authenticity of the clip, which was filmed on August 1st, as part of an investigation into council members' residency requirements. The alleged ballot box stuffing incident took place just before the city's latest primary election on August 5th, which Musa won with more than 1,129 votes, how many of which did he hand in himself? The video comes days after two of Musa's councilman colleagues, Mutasin Sadman and Mohammed Hassan, were charged over forging ballots in the city's tightly fought 2023 election. This is example number, I couldn't even put an imaginary number, where it's demonstrated that the dirt isn't magic. If you have elections in these people's countries at all, this is how they're done. So we bring them here, and we're supposed to be shocked that they do the same thing here. You know, I mean, this is kind of a clickbait outrage story. You're supposed to be outraged about this. But is it really outrageous? Is it really shocking? It says this is shocking. I don't find it shocking. This is the way elections are done in their countries. You bring them here, and we're supposed to be shocked that they do elections the same way that they do in their own countries. Why? Why are we supposed to be shocked that you let an Indian come here and drive a truck in America, and he drives a truck the same way they would drive it in India? And we're supposed to be shocked. I'm not shocked. I don't think the only thing I find shocking is that they're telling us this is supposed to be shocking. But wait, there's more. According to a document by Attorney General Dana Nessel, requesting a special prosecutor in the 2023 case, Musa's colleagues conspired to receive unvoted absentee ballots that had been signed by recently naturalized citizens. The accused then allegedly proceeded to fill in the candidates of their choosing during the city's 2023 elections, according to the document issued in April. Now, I'm kind of skipping through this article a little bit, obviously, because I don't want to bore you with some stuff, but this, stick with me with this. I had to read this part so you know you have this Attorney General Nessel involved here, because they're on this. You've got these guys here doing election fraud, and you know, that's going to fall right in the lap the Attorney General. The drama was ramped up when Attorney General Nessel then decided to recuse herself from the investigation because of criticism she had faced in the past. Nessel, a Jewish lesbian, previously criticized policy positions taken by the Muslim Majority Council to ban pride flags from being flown on city-owned property. You see, here you go. Now you're getting into the money of this, getting into the meat of this story. Because do you think this is an isolated incident, this ballot stuffing and all the rest of it? No. And yet we have an investigation. Now we have shocking footage. With the amount of ballot stuffing that happened in 2020, now we get shocking footage being promoted by the media. And the attorney general here has to recuse herself because, well, as a Jewish lesbian, she was highly critical of these policies of not having pride flags and all the rest. It's this stuff just writes itself. It really does. We never run out of material. The Michigan attorney general had also faced harsh scrutiny for her prosecutions of pro-Palestinian protesters at the University of Michigan in the wake of October 7th. No, in the wake of the genociding of Palestinians in Gaza, not in the wake of October 7th. Nessel was additionally accused of prosecuting the campus protesters due to bias against Muslims and or people of Arab descent. She foresaw similar criticisms coming her way in this ballot forgery case as five of the defendants of her Arab descent. Therefore, she removed herself. So, basically, we have a miniature version of an Arab-Israeli war going on here in the U.S. Why can't we just have normal elections with normal politicians? Oh, that's right, because race is a social construct. We're a nation of immigrants and whatever the hell else they tell us. This isn't working out. We used to have more or less normal functioning elections. This is, you can look and say, okay, at one point in time, we had elections that more or less functioned. Voter fraud's always going to exist on a certain extent because democracy is a shitty system. But we more or less had functioning elections. And now we don't. And now we get all wrapped up in this Muslim versus Jew thing in Michigan. And we're just supposed to accept this. This is just normal. I mean, I read through this and you start off, you're supposed to be shocked over this ballot stuffing thing and offended by it. But then the later I read on, and it's like, well, but pretty obvious. The only reason this is even getting investigated and coming to light is over the whole, the Jewish attorney general's upset because they didn't have pride flags and whatnot. So I don't know. Are the ballot stuffing Muslims the good guys here? I don't know. I don't think this democracy and diversity thing is I don't think this is sustainable. Now I'm going to move on here because I got a couple things I want to get into. Of course, we had the Putin Trump thing, and we have to talk about just a little bit. I'm not getting in depth, but some of this Daily Mail spin stuff is worth talking about just because of the humorous element of it. Now, this first story, I'll go ahead. I almost wasn't even going to link it up because all I'm going to read you is headline. Then I'm going to spoil the rest of the lengthy article for you. But I'll go ahead and link it up in case you want to torture yourself with it. But the lengthy Daily Mail headline is, "What did Putin say that spooked Trump's team in Alaska? How Donald's advisors emerged from Ukraine's showdown looking, quote, ashen-faced and terrified before lunch was canceled." Now, the reason I'm not going to get into the story is I've read the story and they never answer the damn question. They give you the clickbait headline and you're like, let's see. Did he say he was going to nuke everybody? I mean, what? I want to know the answer. There's no answer. They don't give an answer. They give anonymous sources who don't give an answer. They just, anonymous sources make the claim everybody came out of the room terrified. No sort of, as the media would say, they make this claim without evidence. The rest of the story is just journalists talking at each other, bouncing this same assertion back and forth without anything backing it up. There's not a single photo of everybody looking scared coming out of the meeting. It's just aggravating. You click on something like this and you think you're going to get something interesting, and they never answer the question. They lead you in with a question, and you wade through this shitty article, and there's no answer. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and post it up, but there's no answer. I'll just spoil it for you. There is no answer. There's just the assertion that this happened. Journalists batting back and forth with one another. And at the end of it, as one of the comments, I just sometimes will glance at the comments because Daily Mail does allow comments. And somebody said, so a whole long article about nothing. And that's basically it. They never answer the stupid question. Now, this next article, I'm not going to go through it. It's a typical, I'll just tell you, I am going to go through some of it. Just because it is the usual, as I always say, anytime you get into the Ukraine-Russia thing, the Ukraine propaganda on the Daily Mail is very, very low tier. I mean, the only people that are going to buy this are literally clinically retarded people. And I'm not saying that as insult. I mean, people who you should have sympathy for because they're clinically disabled. Their IQ is low enough. If you read this and actually believe any of the shit, you have to be clinically retarded and probably need some special help. Right on the short bus. I don't know. Because it's so laughably stupid. But there is a little more to it. And we're going to get into that. There is actually, besides laughing at this, there is a little more of a serious element. So the headline for this great story, for Putin, an outbreak of peace means certain death. Like any gangster, he has only one hope for survival, writes William Browder. This is who writes this article for the Daily Mail. Of course, you're going to be treated to all kinds of projection here, as you anticipate. I'm just going to read a little of this, and then I want to get into something that's a little more interesting element of this. Just give you a taste of this very thought-provoking piece by William Browder. I think it's Browder. More than a million Russians have been killed. More than a million Russians have been killed or seriously wounded on the battlefields of Ukraine. But there is one man who owes his life to the continuing slaughter. For Vladimir Putin, an outbreak of peace means certain death by assassination, overthrow, and execution, or in an international prison cell as a war criminal. The Russian president's only credible hope of survival in the gangster state he has himself created is to prolong the so-called special military operation in Ukraine, or to win in such outrageously successful terms that he can turn his attention to other former client states, other victims. Survival, after all, was Putin's objective in launching the invasion in 2022. In his interminable ramblings about history, the Russian president makes great pretense that all of Ukraine, not just the eastern regions of Donbass, Donetsk, and Crimea, is part of Russia's empire. Putin claims that it is his mission to reunite former territories while denying Kyiv the chance to join the NATO alliance with the West. Then this guy goes on to ham-handedly quote Machiavelli, and it just goes into more and more ridiculousness. But that's not what's interesting. This is just a typical Daily Mail propaganda piece. But I asked myself, well, who is William Browder or Bill Browder? So he's got a Wikipedia page. And this shit just... they'll probably have to scrub it after we talk about it here. He's a sir. Because, of course, how the hell do you not become a sir in Britain? Sir William Felix Browder, born April 1964, is an American-born British financier and political activist. He is the CEO and co-founder of Hermitage Capital Management, an investment advisor to the Hermitage Fund, which was formerly the largest foreign portfolio investor in Russia. Now, we'll skip down to early life and education. And no, it's not going to be directly what you're probably thinking. William Felix Browder was born in Princeton, New Jersey. He grew up in Chicago, Illinois. He is the son of mathematician Felix Browder. Okay. And the grandson of communist leader Earl Browder. Sure, this guy was no doubt persecuted, because the earlier parts I skipped over is all about how he was persecuted unfairly in Russia and got deported, and he was so mistreated because he was not doing anything shady while he was in Russia at all. But he was, he's a poor kid from New Jersey who happens to be the grandson of communist leader Earl Browder. Let's see here. Then it goes on to his education ship, which I don't care about. Then goes into his family background, and it just gets better. Because when you get in the background, you know this guy is not like some organic guy that worked his way up from the bottom, and just when he started to get successful, totally legally and legit handling money in Russia, got picked on by the evil Vladimir Putin. Browder's paternal grandfather, Earl Browder, was born in Kansas in 1891. He was a radical and had lived in the Soviet Union for several years from 1927 and married Raisa Berkman, a Jewish Russian woman, while living there. After his return to the United States in 1931, Earl Browder became the leader of the Communist Party USA from 1930 to 1945 and ran for U.S. president in 1936 and 1940. After World War II, Browder lost favor with Moscow and was expelled from the U.S. Communist Party. Earl and his wife, Raisa, had three children, all sons, and all three became mathematicians, who headed the mathematics departments at top American university, including Bill Browder's father. Now, see, we're coming down the generations. We started with the grandfather. We got some background on the grandfather. Now we're doing his dad, including Bill Browder's father, Felix Browder, who married Eva Tislowitz. Felix was a mathematics prodigy who entered. You always wonder when they say that, these guys all became head of mathematics. See, they were all so brilliant. There's no way nepotism might have been involved there. That's anyway, he entered MIT at age 16, acquired a bachelor's degree, blah, 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 blah. But during we have these lines about how he was a prodigy. He was super brilliant. But he was picked on, of course. But during the McCarthy era, he could not find work because he was the son of the one-time head of the Communist Party USA. Let's see here. Yeah, I'll just keep reading here because, this poor prodigy, and just because he was the son of the head of the former head of the Communist Party, it was just being picked on, but he was still trying to pull himself up by the bootstraps. After a series of job rejections in the 1950s, he was championed by Eleanor Roosevelt, the former first lady, who was then chairman of the board of Brandeis University. She overrode the rest of the board, who were afraid to hire him, and he gained a position at Brandeis. Let that sink in. He just so happened to wind up getting the backing of the former first lady of the... Okay. Bill Browder, now we're down to the current guy who wrote this very enlightening piece about Vladimir Putin. Bill Browder has one sibling, Tom Browder, who entered the University of Chicago at 15 and became a particle physicist. Bill Browder's son, Joshua, is the founder of Do Not Pay, a startup that helps to automate certain legal services. This is the final part I wanted to get into. Browder started his career because, again, these guys are all about pulling themselves up by the bootstraps, even though his family lineage of radical communism set aside. Browder started his career in the Eastern European practice of the Boston Consulting Group. No doubt, again, because he was obviously so talented. Somebody spotted the inherent talent in this guy. He started Eastern European practice of the Boston Consulting Group in London. Then he worked for Robert Maxwell's Maxwell Communication Corporation. And after that, managed the Russian proprietary investment desk at Solomon Brothers. Robert Maxwell. Yes, Ghislaine's dad. I never pronounce her name. Yes, that Robert Maxwell. You see, it's all intermingled. And then you read a story like this, and you were supposed to take this. You're just supposed to read this and be like, this is totally real. This guy doesn't have an accent. This guy doesn't have an agenda. It's right there. All you got to do, even Wikipedia, as bad as it is, You can jump on Wikipedia, you read an article like this, and if you don't bother, see, I ask. You know, people like us, like you and I, we ask. Most people don't. Most people sit here and read this. Now, I always say, doing podcasting, one of the things you're going to learn early on is that people don't care about your opinions. They want to hear their opinions coming out of your mouth. And people like this take advantage of that. In other words, what I'm saying is, somebody who reads this article, this is for people who want to believe this is true. They want to believe plucky Volodymyr Zelensky, who is totally Ukrainian, by the way. You know, is just standing up for freedom and the democracy. They, in other words, they're going to read it because they're hearing, they're not going to question anything because they're being told what they want to hear. They have created, they believe this sort of fantasy themselves. So when they read an article like this, they eat it up. And people like that are never going to stop, like people like you or me. And they're not going to stop and ask, who is William Browder? Who is this guy that's writing this gibberish? And you just do a simple look up on Wikipedia and you start going through and it's like, And then he, and just so happened to be a communist agitator and had to get booted out of the country for no reason at all. And then, he was so smart. And then he got his leg up from Robert Maxwell, you know, Ghislaine's dad. He was such a straight up dude and just so happened to wind up in these investment deals and just so happened was picked on then in Russia. He totally wasn't running money scams. You know, a lot of questions can be answered when you ask who's telling you. You know, and when you read something like that, look up. There was another article I was going to do. We're kind of out of time, and I just now decided I'm not going to do it. But it was another one of these ridiculous. It was one of these pieces claiming that Russia is doing suicide missions. You know, they're just sending millions of guys into the Ukrainian meat grinder, you know, to be ground up by the plucky Ukrainians. It's just more of the same. Now, it was interesting because the person, I'm pretty sure the person that wrote it is a ghostwriter. Because, like, they're supposedly they write for the Daily Mail and all of these other outfits, and you can find, like, two pictures of them on all of the internet. Makes you think it's a ghostwriter, but I don't know. But it was more of the same gibberish, so we don't need to beat the dead horse to death. But I just thought it was really interesting to look at a piece like this. It's obviously just a lie. The Daily Mail doesn't disclose who this guy is, his background, and that maybe he has a vested interest in the fact that he was, I don't know, running money scams in Russia and then booted out before, you know, basically run out of the country before he could be thrown in prison for running money scams. Is just totally picked on. Isn't it the pattern? This guy was being totally picked on by the Russians that's totally shut down his totally legit, not a money scam operation in Russia. His grandfather was also just picked on because of his communistic views. It just, this whole long pattern. You would think the Daily Mail would give you some sort of background on this, that it might be relevant for the readers to know when they read this piece, who this guy is, what his background is. Besides, oh, he's a investment fund manager, because of course he is. Anyway, it's a good thing we have free press, huh? Good thing we have a totally free press. It's not run by the government or anything. We got a free press and they tell us the truth. They get to the heart. They dig deep. Get us the heart of the story. It's all just more clown world, laughable clown world nonsense. We're going to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you stopping by today. I will be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, of course, on Wednesdays, he brings us the Orthodox Nationalists. He wraps our week up on Thursdays. We got more than banker's hours here at Radio Albion. We wrap up on Thursdays with Dr. Johnson's Daily Nationalist Show. I hope you'll get to check all of our content out this week. It is Monday. I hope y'all have a great week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.